Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening, folks? 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Patriot Nation Radio, Constitution 101 on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And welcome to another fine show. We are finally coming to the conclusion of Article 1 tonight on our ongoing series, Constitution 101. We will hit Section 10. And, you know, there's all kinds of stuff happening, cool stories and bad stories and election stories and everything else. But we have Section 10 to cover. So stick around, learn about the Constitution, get a little constitutional education. This is what we're here for. We're here to help out and try to spread awareness and truth and justice, freedom and liberty and the American way of life and all that fun stuff, folks. It's very, very important to stay in tune with what's happening these days. Please seek out alternative media sources. Even if you don't like my show or should do your first time and this is a hard day for you to listen, or if you love my show but want to have other avenues, check out Constitutional Truth on Friday night right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network with my co-host, Charlotte Sines, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Friday night, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. You don't want to miss that show, folks. That's a good one. Of course, this one, and then you got a conservative's perspective with James Bostic on Thursday night, 7 p.m. right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. That starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Tune in. Don't be shy. They're good shows, man. Truth. And news the way it's meant to be told, without political spin. Truth, whether we like it or not. Constitutional truths, truth in media. We want to try and bring all that to you. Check this out.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Shots fired.
At DaveBrayUSA.com. Definitely want to check the video out. I worked with an organization called Lesma. It's a media watchdog for police officers when officers and law enforcement are being misrepresented in social media and all these different causes that are out there, you know, sort of pushing the blame. You know, they go out and they break laws for no reason just to prove that the cops, A, have to be police. They don't choose the laws they uphold. They uphold the laws because that's their job. Whether they're passive laws or aggressive laws, they go out and break them for the reason of to get a police response, which is just wasting taxpayer dollars, and I wish people would see that. These cops are putting themselves in harm's way on a daily basis. When your dad's a police officer and he goes to work, he straps on a gun and a badge. But these people are going into harm's way, you know. And it's an honorable job. It's one of the hardest jobs, and it takes a special person. And I think in this day and age, you know, we should be rallying behind them. But this song, Last Call, is about a fallen officer sort of giving his last sort of will and testament over the radio after he's been in a gunfight and he's hit and he's pinned down and he's not going to make it. And he just sort of gives his words.
I'm bleeding now. There's no time, no time.
Stand by for a special announcement. Our emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling. 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwinden. End of watch, February 27th, 2016. May you rest in peace.
Saturday!
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 Friday. It's time for another party.
Austin, Texas.
Saturday, September 3rd at high noon.
Join us on the east side lawn of the Capitol.
Because you deserve a day off.
And a little substance, too.
Let's party.
The Republican Party.
The Democrat Party.
The Libertarian Party.
The Constitution Party.
Border control.
BLM.
Islamic terror.
Transgender bathrooms.
School curriculum.
The Supreme Court.
The UN at the Alamo.
Governor, we would like a word. Come out and hear.
Chalice Finicum.
Daughter of Lavoie. Ernest Lee.
Founder of the Liberty Pledge.
Tommy Attaway.
Author of We Defy. Timothy Frazier.
Libertarian candidate for governor.
James Neighbors.
Founder of Overpasses for America.
Fred Schneider.
Executive Director, Overpasses for America. And Warrior Woman.
Stephanie August.
John Jarnicki.
President of the Republic of Texas. Doc Green.
RagingElephantsRadio.com.
Crystal Lee Larimore.
Publisher of the Damn Good Times.
And Jay Stanley and Sharon Darrington.
Texas Patriots for Secession. Not to mention...
great music by the Green Brothers Band.
I said not to mention that.
Saturday.
September 3rd on the east lawn of the Capitol at high noon.
Be there.
Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com. Buy this gear to support efforts by like-minded patriots in Texas who met at the first Stand By Me for Liberty rally. The group is lending their time and efforts to help political prisoners to let them know they are not being forgotten. Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com and buy some gear and show your patriotic support for those who are standing for liberty.
Strange things are happening in this land that once was free. So, brother, I ask you, are you going to stand by me?
Defend Freedom Tour featuring Ayla Brown and Madison Rising. Special guests include Karen Vaughn, Jason Redman, Cody McGregor, Jason Beardsley, Darren Selnick, Kerry Shepard. Get informed and get involved at DefendFreedomTour.com. Coming at you in red, white, and blue. Not all guests will be at all locations. Check the website, DefendFreedomTour.com, for further details.
Not about themselves, but about the idea of America. We need a hero, someone to show us the way. We need a hero who speaks for the people and what we have to say. We still believe this land of the free is still America.
There you have it, folks. Make sure you head over to DaveBrayUSA.com. You heard the little blurb there about Last Call. A little bit more than a blurb. It's a pretty much a promo for the song. It's a great tune. But to get the full effect of that song, you really need to see the video. DaveBrayUSA.com, man. You want to check that out. It's really, really serious stuff. Without further ado, I want to start this show and welcome to our wonderful Constitution 101, our co-host Charlotte Sines. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate being here again. This is one of the highlights of the week, actually. I don't know which day of the week I prefer more, to be honest with you, Mondays or Fridays. I know Fridays are my show, but it's not really my show because I invite all of my listeners to come on and be co-hosts with me. I do have a couple of regulars like W.H. Cratch and Thomas Maddox who come on and help me do the show. And Gillis, of course, they come on and help me do the show. But I invite any of my listeners to come on and speak with me, and they're welcome to stick around for the entire 2 hours and discuss whatever it happens to be that pops in my head to discuss for the week. And even though it's titled Constitutional Truth, and last week, this past Friday, it was Farmville, Pokemon, and other post-apocalyptic skills, some people thought that the title might have been a little bit off-putting, and what in the heck does that have to do with the Constitution? There was a lot of history and constitutional truth mixed in with that, and it really did address a lot of things that are going on with the people and how our nation is very much distracted from the truth.
Yes.
Of what's going on, and I don't know if you were able
Absolutely.
To listen to any of it, but we actually went into a full hour of overtime to the point where Blog Talk Lady cut us off. I didn't even get to do a nice, clean disconnect. Yes, it was hilarious, but
it happened.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how I do that. I guess it's because of inviting my listeners and my regulars to come on and help us do the show. But it's enjoyable. So if you guys miss the live because it is Friday night and you have other commitments, by all means, pick up the archive. And I know you're probably thinking, oh, my heavens, 3 hours of archive at once. No, break it down into small pieces.
Yeah,
catch a little bit here, catch a little bit there.
You can click the mouse and move through the time frame.
Exactly.
Through the time stamp.
Right. It's just like a DVD. You can listen to it for a little bit and pause it, or you can do like some have suggested and listen to it through your mobile device while you're cleaning up, while you're doing the dishes or the vacuuming or what have you with your earbuds in. And that way you're being informed and sometimes entertained while you're getting things done around the house.
Yes, indeed. So I'm sitting here at my usual spot where I do my show. And I realized that my whole collection of constitutions has wound up here in my studio office.
Oh, really?
I'm missing two pocket constitutions from what I can say, but I got three right here in front of me and one on the wall and one in a plastic tube to put on my son's wall when I know he won't destroy it.
Right. When you know it won't be covered in crayon and marker and stickers, yes.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
You'll have to wait until he's about 32 because, yeah.
Well, I haven't messed up mine, so I guess I reached past childhood now. It's on the wall and
right.
Has no stickers on it. It's got a bunch of signatures on it. These guys wrote all over. I don't know what to do.
I know. See, I told you. That's why I said 32 because even them old farts scribbled all over the thing.
Yeah, I've been asking folks, and it's pretty – sometimes I'm baffled by the answer, let's say that, when I say, what do you think? Do you think that the Constitution is important, or it's just an old museum piece written by a bunch of dead slave owners, and it's usually B?
Mm-hmm.
It's really scary.
Yeah.
They look at it as like the Liberty Bell.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I know exactly what you mean. It's interesting to me some of the falsehoods that come out about the Constitution, because the average person believes what they're fed through the mainstream media. And that's some of the things that got me into reading the Constitution, like people who said, well, the Constitution says that only white men could vote. So I was like, what? No way.
Yep.
So I started digging through the Constitution, and I have not found anywhere in any of the Constitution or any of the amendments where it says that only white men over the age of 21 could vote. Nowhere. Not anywhere
right.
in this Constitution does it specifically say the words only white men over the age of 21 can vote. That may have been some interpretations at the states levels because of various places in the Constitution where it says the various electors as determined by the state's legislatures. But nowhere in our United States Constitution does it delineate that only white men over the age of 21 can vote. It's rather interesting to me. I do know that historically speaking, not based on the Constitution itself, but historically speaking, the electors were, prior to 1868, the electors that were chosen were almost always those who owned land, male or female.
Right.
So this fallacy that the, I believe it's the 19th Amendment that gave women the right to vote, women had been voting prior to that amendment for years, so long as they had land. Because it was people who had skin in the game who were allowed to cast a ballot in elections at the
right.
state level. If you didn't have skin in the game, meaning that you didn't have any real estate or business holding, something that would have an effect or would be affected by any of the legislation or the representation that you would be placing into office, or then you had no need to be casting a ballot. The system
right.
that we have in place now allows anyone and everyone over the age of 18 to cast a ballot, which means like recently I was doing a volunteer position for a nonprofit organization, calling and asking people a poll about election. And one of the questions, you know, was regarding election, about lowering the deficit or cutting spending or something to that effect. I don't remember the question precisely. And one of the people that I had reached was an older woman, an older person, obviously on Social Security, because she specifically said, "Do you mean cutting Social Security?" So when you're dealing with people who are dependent upon the system and the government, they're not going to, quote, vote to cut spending if that spending is going to affect their bottom line. They
right.
have no skin in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. See? And I had I was sitting around with some folks, and I know that over the last 50 years, we've been trained as Americans to never talk politics or religion amongst friends
yep.
and family.
Right.
Well, I happened to be at a birthday party yesterday, and politics came up, and I didn't start the conversation, so I gracefully entered. And everybody was like, "Well, I really don't like to talk about it anyway, because it doesn't really affect me." And I looked around at all the kids playing, and I used one example where it affected them, and it was very effective. I looked around at the kids playing and said, "Oh, everybody has little kids in school, right?" And they're all like, "Yeah, yep, absolutely, yeah, he's in first, he's in fifth, blah, blah, blah." "All right, so how do you like Common Core math?" They're like, "Oh, man, that shit's, I hate, oh, man, it's so hard, I can't believe it's, Common Core is ridiculous, blah, 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 blah." I said, "There you have right there, folks, politics affecting your life." They were all like, "Whoa." And I used that as a moment. And they all,
mm-hmm.
the little light bulb went off in everybody's head. They're like, "Holy crap, politics does affect us." And it really affects us, because look at our kids. They're pissed
yes.
off. They're not having fun in school. School is a struggle for everybody. They're always practicing for these tests and doing this crazy Common Core crap that nobody
mm-hmm.
understands. And they're all like, "Whoa." So you always have to look for that little moment to educate.
Teachable moments. Those
you know,
are called teachable moments in the field. But yeah, you must find those teachable moments, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you who regularly follow this broadcast and are learning and want to take this learning and share it with others, look for those teachable moments when you're out and about together, whether it's the after church discussion, when you're trying to decide where you're going to go for lunch or whatever it might be. Find those little teachable moments. You don't always have to start the conversation, but when it comes up, find those little teachable moments, okay?
Absolutely.
If someone, you know, let's say there's somebody that is saying, "Well, never Trump, but, you know, I'm not going to vote for Hillary either, so I don't know what I'm going to do." then look at them and say, well, okay, I can see why you wouldn't want to vote for Trump necessarily. And it sounds like you're angry that Mr. Cruz wasn't nominated, but has it occurred to you that Mr. Cruz is constitutionally ineligible because he's not a natural born citizen?
Right.
And explain to them why, and guide them to the actual history as to why he's ineligible. And if they want to tell you, well, the naturalization laws say that he is, tell them, well, no, the naturalization laws probably say that he's a citizen, but not a natural born citizen. And the reason why we need a natural born citizen is so that we don't have split loyalties in the office.
Yep. Absolutely. But see, the precedence has been set with the present sitting president who is
ineligible. But that doesn't mean the precedence has to be carried on. And
right,
that's
but
the
usually once it's set, it's like concrete, it seems, especially in the D.C.
Well, sure,
circus.
Sure. And that's the problem that I have with the alleged conservatives, is that because the precedent was set by the liberals and then the conservatives want to sit there and scream, you know, the dirty liberals, nasty liberals, then they want to carry on what the liberals have done. Well, you can't have it both ways, conservatives. You either are conservative or you're not. You're either going to stand by some principles or you're not. You know,
it
it's similar
like a
to
lot of 50, at least 50 of them are not.
Right. And it's similar
to a post.
They should be
remembered come election time.
There's a wonderful podcast that I listen to on an odd occasion here and there called The Unallowable Opinion. And it's put out by two young men that are libertarians, Caleb Huff and Stockton Rasso. And these two young men are reaching young people hand over fist. And I'm telling you what, these young men know it like like nobody's business. They're college age young men and they have it going on. And Mr. Huff made a post the other day, and he identifies as a Christian, mind you, but he noticed a bumper sticker that said, God bless our troops, especially our snipers. And he took issue with this particular bumper sticker. And he said, why should God be blessing our snipers when you consider the hellhole that the Muslim countries and the Muslim people are living in? And I have to agree with him. Why should God bless our snipers when our current military, and I am a veteran, so our veterans don't get angry with me here. Many of you will agree with me. When our current military are fighting economic wars, we're not fighting wars of independence and freedom any longer. We're not fighting wars of defense any longer. We're fighting offensive economic wars. We don't need to be spreading democracy to nations that don't want it. Or if they do want it, they have the same natural rights as we do to stand up and take it for themselves in the same fashion that we did
indeed.
In 1776.
Yeah.
We don't need to go
That's
in there
I
and
say,
spread democracy.
I say that a lot about the folks coming across the southern border. You know, why are you coming here? Why don't you just, like, stand up to your own land in your own country? You come here and you burn our flag and you wave a Mexican flag.
Right.
If you love Mexico so much, stay there and fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
Why come here and disrupt our lives and our thing? You know, I understand that they may be struggling, starving. There's no work. They're the cartels are killing their family members and this and that and the other thing. So
well,
you
that's
a NAFTA stand up
issue.
To it.
That is
so
a
why
deep
do they come here
rooted,
and stand?
That is a deep-rooted rabbit hole issue that started long before NAFTA, but NAFTA sealed it, the North American Free Trade Agreement. But NAFTA pretty much sealed it. Yeah.
Good old Slick Willie. People think, you know, he was such a good guy. Look what he gave us.
Yeah. NAFTA pretty much sealed it for that. But, you know, we have a lot of that going on because of NAFTA and other issues that occurred long before then. Our southern border has been porous for decades. It's been so noticeable recently because of the explosion in our technology to make the news so much more readily available and the news that isn't reported more readily available. It is prophetic, to be honest with you. It definitely is when you think about biblical prophecy. It is definitely prophetic in the sense that the news being so readily available to all.
Yep. And it's there at the click of a finger, you know, and that's what's great about the technology is that you can find truth. You can look through all the stories and find different things and different writers and different sources to bring you the truth and not the spin. You know, I think it's important that people get the truth. The truth is so, and they don't want it. Like, it seems like people don't want to hear it, because if they hear the truth, they're going to go, oh, man, I thought it was the other way all this time. Now I got to do something, you know. Mm-hmm. And the people don't want to do nothing. They want to go watch the game and eat some wings and drink some beer and, you know, go make it rain on some dancer in a club somewhere. They don't want to think they're not free or something askew and their way of life is going to change because of one thing or another. They don't want to think that.
And that was the topic of our show Friday night, was the fact that we are living in the final days of the Roman Empire right here, right now, in the former republic. We're no longer a republic. We're not even a democracy anymore. We really and truly are an oligarchy. We might as well have a Caesar rather than a president. We are attending the circuses, and we are taking the free bread, and we are being entertained ad nauseum, and we are allowing ourselves to be distracted and entertained from that, which is currently going on. The very night that I was doing my show, literally within 10 minutes of the show airing or going live, rather, I found a post on the Free Thought Project regarding the Pentagon. At the same time that we're hearing about all the medal winners and all of the horrific things going on in Rio de Janeiro at the Olympics, the Pentagon report comes out that they have lost $6.5 trillion with a T dollars. Not misallocated, not, you know, misfunded, and not, you know, lost as far as, you know, this particular jet didn't take off well or that tank, you know, was an utter failure, but lost as in they misplaced their wallet on a park bench somewhere, lost.
And you know what's crazy? If you can kind of remember back to right before 9/11, 2001, Donald Rumsfeld made an announcement that a big pile of money went missing. Mm-hmm. And to cover their tracks, a huge event took place across this country. And I sometimes believe it was facilitated by these clowns to cover up their tracks in a huge crime where they misplaced, I think it was somewhere in that same ballpark amount of money.
Yeah.
Gone. So,
you
know, this could be a very dangerous time for this country if you think about it, with them announcing the misplacing of this $6 trillion. You know, that's like, that could fund three nations in Africa for 10 years.
It's about $8,000 per person across the republic.
You know, I could use that $8,000 of dumbasses.
And that's not adult person. That's per living person from infant on up, $8,000 per person. Yeah, and it's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting when you consider the fact that that is $6.5 trillion income tax dollars that are stolen off the backs of your and, well, not mine, because I don't hold a job. But for every working person who has their income tax dollars forcibly taken from their paycheck, that's their money that has been lost, not misplaced, not misallocated, lost.
And that alone should fire up the people so much that they would just want to go to D.C. and throw these guys all in jail. And yet people just keep going to work and getting their money taken out of their checks. And I'm one of them. I'm guilty. Here I am. I'll be up early in the morning, go to do my 10-hour day tomorrow and pay my dues to the man who's just misplacing $6 trillion and going, oops, sorry.
Yeah, well, I don't advocate anyone going into D.C. proper to do diddly squat, because remember, they are allowed to make any laws that they want to within that 10-mile square. That is their property. But I definitely don't have any problem with people taking care of business within their own sovereign nations anytime that their federal representatives might happen to be visiting where they belong.
Right.
Because it was never the founders' intentions that our federal representatives take up residence in that 10-mile square. That was not the intention. Yep. The intention was that their representatives should be visiting the seat of government on occasion for whenever their respective houses were in session, with the president being the only one that was there on a full-time basis, and the Supreme Court being the only ones who were there on a full-time basis, and the senators and the congressmen, the representatives, okay, being the ones that were only there whenever their houses were in session, and the rest of the time they were meant to be in their respective states, taking care of business with their constituents.
Yeah, hammering away on horseshoes or plucking corn out of the field, doing something.
Right. They were to they were to maintain their regular jobs or, you know, industries, whatever it happened to be, and dealing with their constituents, knowing their constituents, knowing their states if they were senators, and, you know, being busy at their Capitol buildings, and those who were representatives of the people, getting to know their people, knowing the needs of their people in order to best represent them at D.C. And that's not what it is now.
Yep.
They weren't meant to have a barbershop and a beauty shop and a cafeteria and a separate bank and all this other kind of crap funded by the people there at the Capitol building. They weren't meant to have shoe shine and this, that, and the other, and dry cleaners and everything else that's there at the congressional building funded by the people. They weren't meant to have health care that is, you know, a Mercedes-Benz plan funded by the people. And when I say funded by the people, ladies and gentlemen, I do mean funded by the people, because you are speaking with someone who for almost 4 years worked for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Texas for the federal employee plan. And the United States Postal Service has 3/4 of their premiums funded by the American people. The rest of the federal employees have 1/4 of it funded by the American people.
See? People are not mad enough over this. They just go, okay. And, you know, that's one of the things that drives me crazy, man, when people say that this stuff doesn't affect them. This is another thing that affects every person directly is taxes. And what they're spending, what they're using the tax money for. It's like the people, they take our money and they use it however they want without the say or consent of the people. We must have consent somewhere. And have some say in this. And that's why we elect people to go up there, and then they don't represent us correctly, and they take advantage of this money.
Mm-hmm. They take great advantage of it. Very great advantage of it. Voting themselves
racist. They probably have a sauna and a spa and Seuss.
Oh, you know they have a gym. I mean, they have everything. They have all of it. You know, they fund their own transportation on our dimes. Everything is funded via taxes, because it's all business expenses. I mean, for crying out loud, when was the last time any of us, except at an executive level in employment, has been able to write off our dry cleaning for our clothing for work, or write off our travel to get to and from work?
Never. Never.
Thank you.
I got to pay. If I go somewhere, it comes out of my butt. But, hey, you know, we're already more than halfway done with the show, we haven't even touched on our topics.
Section
for this
10. Yeah, I know.
Section 10.
Okay.
which actually ties into a little bit of what we're talking about here.
Right.
In some
ways. It does. A little bit.
And so we can roll right into Section 10 if you like to.
Yeah, let's do that. So the first part of Section 10, first clause, is no state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque and reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility.
Whew, thank God we got that one, boy. They're really upholding that one, ain't they?
Well, I don't think we've got any treaties with any of the states going on, and, you know, nor any alliances or confederation. Oops, wait, we did have that war of northern aggression, but that was pretty much just the second half of the revolution, because the vast majority of the generals of the southern states were, hold on, wait for it, America, you're getting ready to hear some real history here. They were descendants of the original founding fathers. Did you not hear that in your history books? Why, no, you did not, because history is written by the winner. Letters of mark and reprisal, we covered that last week. Coin money, well, no, we don't coin any money in any of our separate states. Emit bills of credit, yeah, uh-huh. Make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. Well, up until 1913, each state had, you know,
they had gold
and silver coin. Yeah. Pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts. Let me see. Here in the state of Texas, they have a law on the books that limits any kind of tort law regarding, you know, anything you might need to sue about to 2 years. You have 2 years to get her done or you're screwed. So if you don't find out about something for more than 2 years, oh, well, too bad. And then, of course, granting any title of nobility. Well, golly, that dadgum bar association of each and every state.
Yeah. Bill Jones, Esquire, attorney at law. And that's just one that everybody knows and sees on a daily basis. One day I'm going to go through and find out where the titles of nobility lie in the governmental system that of which we are being abused by.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
All right, on to the next section. No state shall, without the consent of the Congress, lay any imposts or duties on imports or exports, except what may be absolutely necessary for executing its inspection laws. Does anybody remember way back in the day to the 70s?
The dark
when,
ages?
Yeah. back during the horse and cart days, when whenever
circle
you would
wagons, Martha.
I am Bill. Hang on. whenever you would enter the state of Florida, you would have to stop at an inspection station. Does anybody remember them days? I do, because I was raised in Florida from second grade onward. And anytime we would go to Mississippi to visit family, whenever we came back, we always had to have our produce or our car inspected for any produce that we might be bringing in.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I was in New York at that time.
Dadgum Yankees. At least you ain't a carpetbagger.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a damn Yankee, though. I came and I never left, so I'm a damn Yankee.
That's all right.
but I'm a good damn Yankee.
That's right. Now, you didn't have to pay for these inspections, but they did have these inspections to make sure that you weren't bringing in any foreign things that were not native to Florida, because we had problems with the Venus flytrap plants at the time, and, of course, we had problems with the fruit fly. Now, even at my age at that time, which was a preteen, I was like, seriously, you think you're going to stop a fly from flying across a state line? It made no sense to me. Okay. But I did understand the non-native species, you know, transportation of plants thing, because people would, you know, bring non-native plants and then plant them in their, you know, backyards or whatever. And a lot of times they would overtake things. And then what do you do? But it within, you know, 4 or 5 years before the, well, within the first, you know, the early years of the 80s, those inspection stations went away. I don't know why. I'd have to go digging through history books to figure it out, and it doesn't really matter. But they went away, probably because of the fruit fly overtaking Florida, because the fruit flies didn't read the signs and not enter the state. So, but anyway, I know, stupid flies. I don't know. I guess because they couldn't read, maybe, or
something.
I don't know. I still haven't figured out why the dadgum fruit flies didn't just stop at the inspection stations, turn around and go, "Well, dadgummit, Billy, we can't enter here." But anyway, so they used to have that. But what this is talking about here in the Constitution is that you can't have any taxes or duties or anything on imports and exports except when absolutely necessary when dealing with inspection laws. So on all of our coastal states, if those states own that particular port and they need to do an inspection on something, they are allowed to assess a tax on that foreign entity, say China or
right.
Japan or whatever, in
right.
order to recoup the cost of performing that inspection. But they're not supposed to be, overtaxing or, generating huge amounts of revenue off of those fees and duties and imposts and whatever, just to make money off of it. It's just to recoup the cost of performing the inspection to make sure that there's
right.
no contraband or anything that's going to, create
yeah.
havoc within the nation kind of thing.
Which they abuse the heck out of now, and they are in business of doing it and are making big
oh, yeah.
money on taxing these ships coming in. And where's the money going? I guess the money probably just goes into the general fund or something from these taxes on these ships, so they have a specific spot, I wonder.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very much like the marriage tax. I mean, the marriage license. Up until 1868, we didn't have marriage licenses in this nation. We didn't even have a formal governmental record of marriage licenses up until 1868. You just got married in your faith, and if you didn't have a faith, you could really, in all honesty, you could two people could promise themselves to each other by a hay bale, with or without witnesses, and simply declare that they were married each other, and that was it.
Right.
Marriage, records of marriage were kept in family Bibles. Most of us have seen a family Bible that has, the records of birth and marriages and a family tree in it. And if you haven't, go to your local bookstore and pick up one of those big giant family Bibles. They still print them that way. The other place that, of course, these records were kept were at your local churches. And if not the local church, then at least the Catholics called them dioceses, or, the other central location, maybe at the state capitol or whatever, for that particular denomination would have all the records of marriage. But in 1868, when the 13th and 14th Amendments were passed, one of the things that President Lincoln is not known for, because he's the great emancipator, was that he actually despised blacks, and he really wanted to have them all exported from the nation, but he knew that that would be terribly expensive, and of course, where would he send them to? So instead, he established a law of non-interracial marriage, because his fear was that once the blacks became free and could do as they please, that blacks and whites would marry amongst themselves and would create inferior people between superior and inferior races. This is his opinion, okay? Now, so the marriage license was instituted at that point so that one had to have permission from the state in order to marry. And then in the 1970s, that the ban on interracial marriage was struck down through a Supreme Court opinion, but the marriage license has stayed on the books in all 50 states. Why? Because it generates revenue.
Yeah.
It is a tax. One has to have permission from one's government in order to marry, just as one has to have permission from one's government in order to divorce.
And yes, it says here, the next line, matter of fact, says it goes into the treasury.
Mm-hmm.
So they dump that money into the treasury, and they're making a big racket on that. And they're taking that treasury money, and they're paying for their spa and their gym and their,
mm-hmm.
all their amenities there, and they're state capitol and their vacation trips and their golf outings.
Yeah, no state shall, without the consent of the Congress, lay any impost or duties or imports or exports except which may be absolutely necessary. Okay? And the next, oh, excuse me, and the net produce of all duties and imposts laid by any state on imports or exports shall be for the use of the Treasury of the United States. And all such laws shall be subject to the revision and control of the Congress. Okay, so Congress does, the United States Congress does get to dictate to the states what their import and export taxes can be on their ports, and all of their taxes get to go into the United States Treasury, not the states' treasuries, unless, of course, the U.S. Congress, you know, makes deals with these individual states on what the split's going to be.
Right.
And then the final one is no state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops, or ships of war in time of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay.
Hmm.
Now, a duty of tonnage is talking about charging a tax on military ships sitting in a port, and that's based on its weight.
A.K.A. tonnage.
Yes.
So, and basically, is outlined in 1817, Forts, Ports, and Needful Buildings, magazines, and stuff like that. It's part of that, I believe, correct?
Correct. Yes. And so when you consider that the only military branch that is ever meant to be perpetually maintained and funded is the United States Navy, and as such, the United States Marine Corps, being that it is, you know, now a subsidiary, for lack of a better term, you know, it's a sub-branch of the United States Navy. Those are the only two branches that have any long-term, regular standing and funding. The Army, as we have learned, has no standing on a long-term basis and should never have any funding longer than 2 years, and only during time of war. And after 2 years, it has to be their funding has to be renegotiated. And they should never be in a standing position except in time of war. And yet look at what we have had since 1868. We have had a standing Army since 1868, fully funded since 1868. And since 1948, 46, and here I am, a daggum Air Force veteran, and I don't even remember our birthday. But since then, we've had branched off from the Army, the United States Air Force. And, of course, the United States Coast Guard, and, you know, bless their hearts, they are the redheaded stepchildren of the branches. They're under the Department of Transportation, but they're considered military. Bless their little hearts. They don't know who they are. But, you know, they're perpetually funded.
Yep.
I mean,
and again, that's our tax dollars. Supposed to have a standing Army.
No. And in addition to that standing Army, ladies and gentlemen, we have a police force in every municipality.
Yep.
A sheriff's department, and the sheriff is a state level issue. I'm not talking about them. Sheriffs are elected the nation across this land. They are elected. I don't know of any sheriff that's appointed except in a time of emergency.
Right.
Okay. Every place I've ever lived or ever heard of, the sheriff is elected. But when it comes to a police department, chiefs of police are hired, as are the police departments. They're also a standing Army.
Mm-hmm. And they are abusing the people across this great nation. It's crazy. So here we are. We got about 10 minutes left, 10 and a half minutes. And we already covered Article 2.
Yes, we did.
In the beginning. because it was ramping up to the political primary season was
right.
kicking off, so we wanted to get into that. So our next go-around will be starting in Article 3.
Yes, yes. I definitely think before we get into the 14th that we need to go ahead and at least cover the Supreme Court because just for one thing, we need to shift our – we need to take back the narrative and shift our language from Supreme Court ruling to Supreme Court opinion because the court opinion, not a ruling. If the court issues a ruling, then we are all subjects.
Right.
And they issue opinions, not rulings. And it needs to be understood
right.
that the court issues an opinion. So we are going
right.
to get into that one and discuss that one at as much length as it takes for a full and complete understanding as to what their true function is and how Marbury versus Madison hijacked their original intention.
And also how important it is that Hillary does not get elected because
oh my
of what
gosh,
would happen
yes.
with the Supreme Court. We would lose our guns in a hurry.
Not only that,
well,
we would lose all the rest of our immunities and privileges under the 14th Amendment.
Let me state it this way. We won't lose our guns. We will be thrown into a civil war. Over the issue is what I think
mm-hmm.
would happen. We wouldn't
I agree.
Lose our guns. We would fight to the death to keep our guns. I think that's what would happen. So, really, folks, if that's what you're into, you want to be embroiled in a civil war, battling brother against brother on the shores of America, sister versus sister, then vote Hillary. And we could shoot at each other, and it'll be horrifying. And we'll be sick, and it'll be a scar in our history, worse than anything before. Or you can vote for Mr. Trump or the Green Party lady or, you know, Gary Johnson, whoever you feel like voting for, which I think those guys would probably be votes for Hillary, so you probably want to not vote for them. And I'm a registered libertarian. I have to beat Hillary, so I have to, like, turn my back on where I'm registered and vote for them.
I would suggest
that Hillary.
I would suggest that nobody vote, to be honest with you. I truly see coming down the pike with this election, and this is based on quite a bit of research and some discussion with a couple of people that are in the know. What I see occurring here is that based on the summer of chaos that has been orchestrated by the current administration and a few other things that are going on, the most recent executive orders that have been released, one that was released in 2009, I believe it was, regarding the emergency confiscation of weapons and foodstuffs from the populace in a time
yes.
of emergency, et cetera, and so on, by
yes.
this current administration. What I see happening on or before the November elections is another orchestrated major catastrophic emergency. The election either not occurring at all, or if it occurs, it being such a divided split amongst three, not two, but three, and an initiation of the 12th Amendment, allowing Congress to make the decision.
And I would also add a factor into there that is an influence on what you're saying is the missing $6 trillion.
Exactly. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not prepared, you need to prepare now. You absolutely need to prepare now. I cannot stress it enough. You absolutely must be prepared for absolutely any catastrophic event. There's just entirely too much going on. Every one of my fine hairs is standing on end.
It's pretty nerving. So, folks, we've rolled into the end of this episode pretty much. We got about 6.5 minutes left, 6 minutes left. Sure, why don't you tell folks how they can contact you and your show?
Obviously, you listen to my show here on Patriot Nation Radio Network on Friday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. You reach me on Facebook at Constitutional Truth Char Signs. I create the episode generally on Friday with an event as well, and I post it to the page, my own personal timeline, and a few other pages. My regular listeners post it around, and you can catch it that way. You can also catch it by phone, and that phone number is 347-637-3942, I believe. And you press 1 to let me know that you want to join the conversation. If you don't press 1, I assume you're just listening by phone. You can also, of course, listen via the internet, and I open the chat, and you can chat with me that way as well. And that's how you catch me.
I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to open the chat.
Since I run it through the PC, it's a little bit easier. But, I open up the chat, and I chat with folks via the internet as well. And we really do have a good time. I'm not sure what we're going to discuss this week. A lot of it's going to depend on what happens in the news or whatever. You know, it really just depends. Around Thursday is when I finally decide what it's going to be for the week. But it's always enjoyable. It's always enjoyable. And I try not to go into overtime, but sometimes we do. So getting on by phone is the best way to enjoy the entire episode.
Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to break away. And I'm going to play something here real fast. And I'm playing this for everybody who is in need of this. It's a little inspiration by my friend Mark E. Smith. Check this out. God bless, my friend.
Thank you.
When I get to stop and rest on this hot and sandy trail, walking through this desert, occasionally I fail. In a fight of desperation on this road of life, I know that there's only one true way to beat the strife. With rolling tears at times, I think I'll never make it through. Then I stop and realize to give it all to you. Raising up my shield of faith in front of me to fight. With your Holy Spirit, you guide me through the night. Now I call you Christ Messiah. I call you King of Kings. You have risen from the grave with the keys to set this sinner free. People see me in the vineyard, serving in your name. They notice how I've changed, my life is not the same. Often they will ask of the change come over me. I tell them how Jesus set this sinner free. And I call you Christ Messiah. And I call you King of Kings. For you have risen from the grave with the keys to set this sinner free. You've risen from the grave with the keys to set the sinner free.
It, folks, that's Mark E. Smith. That's a good friend of mine. That's his song, Christ Messiah, that goes out for all of you folks that need strength in trying times. Reach out to the Lord, man. We need to bring Jesus. We need to bring God back into America where he belongs, in our hearts, folks. God bless you and God bless America. I'm going to leave you with this. This is Star Spangled Banner, live, a cappella, by Dave Gray.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to sing it together. Are you ready? Come on, Pittsburgh. Are you ready?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that